This is Sam Dharmasena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.
You know, we'll have speakers from across Turtle Island, from Canada, from the United States, Trinidad and Tobago, Brazil, South Africa, Hong Kong. So we're really going to take advantage of listening to what are other people's experiences around the world when it comes to issues like dealing with what we see as multiple pandemics, really. Because yes, COVID has hit us all in particular ways, and we're all in it, as we keep hearing, we're all in it together, but we're not all in it in the same way. We want to know what does it look like when you're trying to fight for democracy in the midst of a pandemic, and you're in Hong Kong, for example, and the government's cracking down. What does it look like when you're trying to advocate or other freedoms and basic healthcare rights when you're confronted with an overtly fascist, patriarchal type government such as that in Brazil?
That's Kike Roche, Unifor National Chair in Social Justice and Democracy. Her role is to create a hub of interaction between social justice activists and academics at Ryerson University. We talk about Social Justice Week, which runs from Monday, October 26th to Friday, October 30th. She hopes that the variety of online conversations that they're presenting will inspire people and remind them that while we're facing multiple crises in this moment, there are activists, thinkers, and community members that have been tackling these issues and have solutions to offer. Kike says that Social Justice Week is the highlight of their year, but she stays busy all year long organizing workshops, facilitating mentorship opportunities, and teaching.
So I teach a course in human rights for social workers, and I also teach social movements and politics. In addition to that, we do a lot of media. We also we put on other events, and I also do some writing and research now. And I'm really concentrating on, from my own research, in questions around state-sanctioned violence and activism, grassroots activism, particularly in the Black community from the late 1970s to around the present.
This is the first time in 10 years that Social Justice Week has gone virtual, and Kike explains that they've tried their best to take a seemingly restrictive scenario and turn it into something positive. Starting October 26th, they'll be hosting two online events every day, primarily on Zoom. Since they're entirely online this year, they're using it as a way to have more international conversations. Social Justice Week is open to everyone, and there will be ASL and captioning provided at all their sessions. Their opening session on Monday looks into Toronto's housing crisis and how race and colonization factor into that discussion. Kike tells me a little bit more about it.
Housing remains a complete crisis that has been only intensified, and we can see that with our eyes. If you've been walking around Toronto, you've seen tents popping up, and people really being forced to just take shelter into their own hands and go out there and find any public spaces where they can try to be safe. So I'm interested in and looking forward to our opening session, which is going to focus on that. We're going to be hearing from Steve Teakins from the Native Men's Residence, Kathy Crow, who's based at Ryerson but is a longtime street nurse, and a couple of lawyers, Shalini Konanur from the South Asian Legal Clinic, and Emily Hill from Aboriginal Legal Services, who are going to talk to us about how, people who've been forced to be unhoused and denied decent shelter have been fighting back and even have had to take the city to court to force them to implement decent conditions for people. And they actually won a recent victory on that in the courts, with a judge ruling, declaring that Toronto has actually endangered people by not providing decent spaces and stuff like that. So we'll deepen the conversation there as well to kind of find out what has been happening and how we can move forward on this question.
Monday evening will be their feature event, Beyond Pipelines and Prisons, Infrastructure of Abolition. This event has already reached capacity on Zoom, but Kike reassures me that they'll be live streaming on YouTube so more people can attend.
We're going to be hearing from Winona LaDuc, who has been on the forefront of ecological, environmental concerns and talking about things like resource extraction and Indigenous sovereignty. And she's going to be in an interesting dialogue for our feature event with Ruth Wilson Gilmore, who has been also on the front lines for decades now, talking about a lot of the issues that we've seen popping up in the news over the last little while, whether it comes to dealing with, racial capitalism, whether it is police brutality, whether it is the prison industrial complex. Her insights have been just at the forefront of a lot of progressive struggle over the last little while.
On Tuesday morning, there will be a talk on creative resistance in Hong Kong, which Kike mentioned earlier, as well as an event on Tuesday afternoon on global Black resistance. In this session, co-sponsored by U of T Mississauga's Women and Gender Studies program, panelists will discuss what the different and similar human rights priorities are for Black people working in movements in different countries. They'll examine what elements are needed for greater and more effective international solidarity among people of African descent. And Wednesday starts with a panel discussion focusing on the organizing power and resiliency of domestic workers in combating patriarchy, systemic racism, and class exploitation.
Now, when I think of like who are some of the most vulnerable, unrepresented workers whose labor is kind of just taken for granted, domestic workers come to the top of my list. Also temporary foreign workers. So on Wednesday, we have a focus on temporary foreign workers in the agricultural sector and domestic workers who've been doing so much of the personal care and, attending to people's personal health and hygiene needs and just the work of the household needs, and looking at how they've been organizing themselves, in fact, and resisting and fighting back against some of the conditions that have exposed them to, unsafe living conditions or sexual harassment and things like that. They've actually won some victories. So I'm interested in hearing about what they have to tell us and what they have to teach us.
Wednesday evening is all about food justice in the time of COVID. Panelists will look at the issue from multiple perspectives. They'll look at precarious working conditions involved in food production, food access, and how barriers to accessing good food is itself a health crisis. Thursday morning is a workshop on game design, access intimacy, and disability justice. Kike tells me more.
There's a session called Digital Intimacies, which is specifically designed for students who are MAD and CRIP identified, people in the disability community, to share their experiences led by Laurie Erickson and Aiden Jarriott Poole of the School of Disability Studies, who are going to talk about how you can use Twine and even gaming and other technological interfaces in order to break out of that feeling of isolation and actually share experiences of what has it been like to, traverse the terrain of COVID with disabilities. So there's just such a wide variety of speakers that we're going to be hearing from, and that's what I really appreciate about the coming week.
Kike tells me that Thursday evening's panel will hopefully evolve into a series of dialogues among community activists, thinkers, labor organizers, and artists on feminism past, present, and future. But on Thursday evening, panelists will share their views on the state of modern feminism, the barriers to broad-based mobilization, and the ongoing challenges involved in building an organized and intersectional movement against patriarchy. On the last day of Social Justice Week, Friday morning, we'll look at the limitation to accessing justice, recognizing that those who are already marginalized face greater risks in the face of justice, and then continue to struggle when they need to go through the system. Friday morning's event will showcase examples of how individuals have overcome these challenges and innovated around accessing justice. It'll discuss a program you can get involved in if you're interested in doing the same, and include a discussion around how we can continue to break down walls so the system is accessible to all. Kike tells me about the final event of Social Justice Week on Friday afternoon.
We're going to be hearing from people who are trying to innovate and look at why is our legal system broken? And also, how do people access justice? And what do we actually even mean by justice? What does that really look like? Does it confine itself only to some lawyers in black robes in a courtroom, advocating? Or is it really a much broader conception that gets us to really fundamentally rethink what safety actually means and who actually is capable of providing that safety and that security, that and what factors do people really need to have healthy communities. So we're excited to be hearing from poet Professor L. Jones, who's been doing so much work on these issues, and people like Sarah Jama, who's been working on from the Disability Justice Network and Black Lives Matter.
Organizing a week of online events is a huge undertaking, and Kike says that she's so thankful to work alongside their major sponsors, the Faculty of Arts and Faculty of Community Services at Ryerson, as well as many others over the years.
You know, we've reached our 10th anniversary, and that's in large part to the hard work from people in our Social Justice Week planning committee, and also my amazing assistant, Salman Khan. If you ever need to have a ton of things done and done well, then you would just be blessed to have somebody like Salman Khan to work with. He's been amazing. So I really want to say a big shout out and thanks to him. And also I want to, last but certainly not least, recognize all of the hard work and the inspiration that we have from Winnie Ng, who is my predecessor in the role, and who was, she gave this Social Justice Week was her brainchild, basically. And she launched us off in 2011 with, you know, a solid foundation of this week as an important time for us to come together and think about all of these issues. So thank you, Winnie Ng, and she's going to be back moderating the session on Hong Kong and democracy on Tuesday.
This is Sam Dharmasena, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.